You're listening to Proven Perspectives, a podcast with John Hawkins, the founder of Leadership Edge Incorporated. I'm Laura, John's daughter, and in each episode, we will explore a topic related to life, leadership, or mentoring. Through nearly 50 years of faith in Christ, John has learned proven life and leadership perspectives that will equip listeners for a lifestyle of leadership in their marriages, families, careers, communities, and churches. Hey, Dad.
Laura, it's great to hear your voice. How is Southern California today?
It is great. It's good to hear your voice, too. How are things going for you?
Oh, we are doing well. We've had this, like, monsoon rain yesterday and today.
Oh,
and
really?
Flooding and all kind of stuff. So it's really warm here for November, but it is definitely kind of a rainy season for us.
Man. Yeah. Wow, I bet that's beautiful. There's like with the creek behind the house, I bet it's beautiful. I always love when it rains a ton at you guys' house and there's like that rushing water. It's really pretty.
Yeah, really has been. And the leaves, there's still a few of the colored leaves on the trees, but most of them are gone now.
Yeah. Wow, cool. Okay, well, Dad, I'm going to start us off with a little bit of a controversial topic.
Oh, my gosh.
And I didn't even tell you. Here we go. So, Dad, we just started playing Christmas music.
Oh, man.
And I was wondering, have you guys started Christmas music? I'm sure you probably haven't started decorating the Christmas tree or anything, right? Where are you at on your Christmas?
We're not decorating. And I feel this is listeners, you'll have to bear with us on this. So I always like listening to Christmas music. And so I usually start like November 1st, just so I can celebrate it for like 2 months.
Yeah.
But I just haven't gotten around to it yet. So now I feel like I'm a Christmas music traitor or something. But I've got my playlist from last year, and I will probably just spruce it up a little bit and get going pretty soon. But
so what's one of your favorites? Just tell us one of them.
Oh, my heavens. My all-time favorite is O Holy Night. And it's just like I heard someone say it's not Christmas till someone sings O Holy Night. And that's exactly how I feel. I just love that song. So that's my all. Then maybe second to it is Joy to the World.
Okay, I'm going to have to add O Holy Night to my playlist. I'm not sure that's on there. So.
Well, it is some song. Some song.
Okay, so moving right along. Today our topic is hope and meaning at the end of 2020. So 2020.
Boy, we've gone from Christmas music to pretty serious stuff here, haven't we?
I thought Christmas would start us off on a light note. Fa la la. Okay, so 2020 is a year that I think it's safe to say none of us will forget.
Yeah, that's right.
With, you know, the pandemic that deeply impacted kind of everything from finances to our daily schedule to families and friendships and physical and mental health. And, you know, many of us now in November, I think, can look back and see some good things that came from it. But a lot of it has been difficult and heavy and heartbreaking. And I know just last week you and Mom lost a friend to COVID.
Yes, yes.
And so in addition to that, there's, you know, the racial tension, deep division in politics. We're recording this episode on November 12th. And as of today, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are president-elect and vice president-elect. And President Trump is contesting the election. So some people feel very hopeful about the new leadership, while others are very concerned about the legitimacy of the election results. And yet, with all of these things, regardless of how we feel about it, the truth is that God's in control and we can trust Him even when everything else is unstable. So I feel like you've kind of repeatedly over this year helped me kind of get a bigger perspective. And so I guess I just wanted to ask you a couple of questions to help us think through the year. Mm-hmm. So first of all, Dad, like, what does it really mean to live at peace in a year like this year?
What does it mean? Gosh, yeah, what a great time to ask a question like that. You know, I'm a member of a wonderful church here in Durham, North Carolina, and our our pastors, but especially our senior pastor, Chuck, is a dear friend and a godly, godly pastor. And one of the things I love that Chuck does is at the end of every service, right as we're about to walk out of the worship building, he closes us with this passage from Numbers 6 that says, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." And it's been striking to me to think about how peace is related to seeing God's face. That's good. In the first one, it says, "The Lord make his face to shine upon you." And I think about when God's face shone with glory before Moses, and it was so bright that it could have killed Moses, and yet, and his grace, it didn't do that. And so the shining, glorious face of God is so pure that for any of us mortals, apart from his grace, it would just probably kill us. But then the next one is, "The Lord lift up his countenance," and it's like, may he help you to see his whole face. And when you see it, you see that it's not something to be feared. It's something that gives you peace. And so I think, what does it mean to live in peace in this year or any year? It has to begin with the face of God, with being in fellowship with him and knowing that he is a God, our Father, and that horrible things do happen, and in his sovereignty, he allows them or brings them to happen. And yet our peace is in him, in his face. So I think in a general term, that verse has really helped a lot. But then one that I think we kind of throw around a lot, and sometimes as Christians we don't quite know what to do with, is Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. It says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." And then he says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." And that's a promise that it will happen. But I've found in that passage that we do better if we actually start it with verse 5. And verse 5 says, in the ESV translation, it says, "Let your reasonableness be known to everyone," period. And then it starts, "The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." And so the whole like mechanics of that passage, of the reason we're not anxious about anything, the reason that by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving we should make our requests known, the reason that we'll have his peace, is because he's at hand. That the Lord God Almighty, fully present, is fully with me at every point in life, in anything that happens in life. And it can be, you know, for someone like me who I feel like in large ways I've suffered so very little during COVID. You know, no one in our family has had it, and not even many people that we know and love beyond our family have had it. And so I feel like I've been had an easy way through so much of this year. But yet I've had my moments that were tough, and knowing that God was present, and that when I looked into his face, it was, you know, God my Father, as I prayed to him, that is the source of peace. And this year, one due to COVID and one cancer related, we've lost two dear friends. And I know in their family situation now, and they themselves, as they were approaching death, the thing that they could come to was that they had Christ, that they knew God, that he was their Father. So I don't know how to do peace, you know, in hard times or in easy times, apart from just the presence and face of God. That's That's, to me, kind of where it begins. I will throw in another thing that has guided me this year.
Please.
You know, whenever I'm trying to get straight on things, one of the sources I go to is John Piper.
Mm-hmm.
And John Piper wrote one time, "The mercy and the sovereignty of God are the twin pillars of my life. They are the hope of my future, the energy of my service, the center of my theology, the bond of my marriage, the best medicine in all my sicknesses, the remedy of all my discouragements. And when I come to die, whether sooner or later, these two truths of God's mercy and sovereignty will stand by my bed and with infinitely strong and infinitely tender hands lift me up to God." And that's peace. That is peace. That's certain of the mercy and sovereignty of God in all situations.
Yeah, man, that's good. I feel like there's a few, I feel like there's a lot of things actually that you said that, but a couple of things that stood out to me. One was just the whole idea of, like, you used a couple of verses, and I feel like you're really good at anchoring in the truth of Scripture. And I think that's something that I've seen from you, of just, like, one of the paths of peace is being anchored in the truth of Scripture.
Yeah.
But then also what you, I mean, even the example of Moses and, like, looking at the face of God and kind of, like, obviously most of us don't have the experience that he had. But, but I mean, I feel like, Dad, this is something you've told me at least, like, 50 billion times. It's like, I'm looking out at, like, people and circumstances, and you say, like, look, you know, look to God. And even, like, even thinking through, like, Moses's experience, and yeah, certainly I haven't suffered, I feel like, comparatively very much at all this year either, but, you know, thinking through, like, what Moses went through and what his challenges were, and even just, like, the pressures that he was under, because I think one thing that has been, like, draining for me this year is just, like, the complexity of decision making, you know, like, evaluating things like, is it safe to fly across the country with my kids to see you and mom? Or is, if not, is it safe for you to come here? Should we get COVID tests first? Should we quarantine? You know, like, all of these kinds of things. And yet, as I've watched you, you're a steady decision maker. And so I'm wondering, and maybe it kind of ties into some of the things that you've already talked about in this episode, but, like, tell me more, like, why is that? And what is your decision-making process? Like, as you are kind of, you know, wading through some of the different issues of this year and figuring out what to do, how do you make decisions?
Yeah, well, I think that, that every believer in Christ is on a spectrum. On one end of the spectrum is the question of, can I trust God in anything? And on the other end of the spectrum is knowing that I can trust God in everything. And I think that as God brings us to faith in Christ, we begin asking those, but can I trust him with this? Can I trust him with this? Can I trust him with my future? Can I trust him with my girlfriend or boyfriend if, you know, if it's a young person? Can I trust him with my finances? Can I trust him to give me wisdom in this situation or in this job decision? And we move through life and we begin to realize over time, gosh, I can trust him in so much. And yet something new comes up, like decision-making in a pandemic. And it's like, I've never had to trust him in this.
Yeah.
And it's almost like we forget everything. And it's just like, it's like we're really wrestling. Like, will he guide me now in this situation? Will he be my rock? Will he be my anchor? Will he be my source? Will he be my truth? And so I think that one of the great benefits of having been a Christian for a long time is that you've been through so many things that you're a lot more persuaded, though you have your moments too, of I can trust him in everything. And yeah, I've never been through a pandemic, But I know that if I pray and if I seek him, he will use his means of grace, especially his word, to guide me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the constancy that sometimes older Christians have to more immediately trust him in hard situations, mm-hmm. though all of us have our moments where we're lost,
uh-huh.
it's just we've seen him be faithful to us so many times and in so many diverse situations
mm-hmm.
that we know we can. And I think in terms of how I make decisions, you know, you and I did a podcast, I think, on this maybe early on in this series where we're talking about how yeah. does God guide us. And we said that he guides us through his word, through prayer, through godly counsel, through circumstances, and through a sense of peace.
Mm-hmm.
And that we patiently and prayerfully wait for God to line up all five of those in a direction before we charge out.
Yeah.
And that there has to be a predetermination that God, anything you tell me to do, I'll do. So please guide me.
Yeah.
And so I think that applies in, you know, say like in trying to figure out, should we fly across the country to see our parents? And, you know, your mom and I are in our 60s, so we're in a high risk group. It is different, and you hate the thought of, gosh, would we come out there and give our older parents COVID and all that? But you look to his word, you look to prayer, you get godly counsel, you look at the different circumstances of what's going on with the pandemic and what are people saying.
Mm-hmm.
You look to the path that you believe God is guiding you towards peace in,
mm-hmm.
and then you make your decision.
Mm-hmm.
Is this relevant to what you were asking, Laura, or
no,
am I
totally.
Missing the point?
Oh, okay. Dad, yeah. Like, you could keep okay. talking for, like, hours. I love talking to you about anything. Yeah, no, it totally is. Well, and I think one thing, and this is one of the things that's always encouraging to me about talking with you, is, like, because I know, like, how I feel a lot of the times, which is just, like, really wobbly, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I know you and, like, have, you know, seen your life over time and, like, the kind of faith that you have. And like you said, like, I know you're not perfect, but it's like, if I could trust God like that, you know, like, that's what I want. And yet when I talk to you, like, even this fall when we were together, I asked you something and you said, I think, like, part of how I've learned it is by, like, not, like, I don't know if this is exactly what you said, but, like, you know, many times that you didn't completely trust God or whatever, and just learning basically through God's faithfulness and, like, the unfaithfulness of leaning on anything else, like, that this is the, like, Jesus is the only way and the only one to trust, which I feel like gets to the thing about kind of looking to God, you know, instead of any of those other things. But I think it's so encouraging to hear you say that because, I mean, and I guess this is kind of like the Piper thing too, but just you're really like, after all the years you've walked with God, how much you trust that God, and we have decisions that we need to make to choose to obey God, like you said, and all of those things, but just like that God is sovereign and God is merciful and he's not going to give up on us. He's going to keep moving us forward as we seek to obey him. So I feel like that's really encouraging to me.
Well, that's good. And you know, it's just, he's the only one who will hold fast, you know, and again, it faith is scary at times.
Mm-hmm.
And it's scary because we have doubts, we have fears, and a lot of times our hearts are wrapped around other things.
Yeah.
And I think that hard times and how we respond to hard times really reflects a lot of times the things that our hearts are wrapped around other than God. But we do want to be, you know, careful in this podcast to be very thoughtful to those people who have suffered great loss, like people who have lost family members.
Uh-huh.
And we, you know, we're not in any way trying to say, well, the person who's grieving the loss of a family member, a dear one, is having a lack of faith. We're not.
Oh yeah.
We're not saying that at all. We're saying that hard things happen to us, mm-hmm. and some of them are so brutal that you really don't know what to do. You're so lost in the situation and lost in the pain. Mm-hmm. And yet, the thing to know then is we do have an anchor. We do have a rock. We can put our trust in Him, mm-hmm. even in those moments. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's really good. So, Dad, what has God been teaching you through this year?
You know, I was sitting in my office thinking, but I'd seen this question, and I was thinking, what, God, have you been teaching me this year? And I as I mused on it, the thing that came to mind was just that He is faithful. That, you know, again, I feel like I have been largely untouched in some ways. I mean, I've been inconvenienced like everyone, but I've suffered so little in this year. And yet, I have had my challenges, and I've seen friends suffer just horribly in this year. And He has been faithful. He has been sufficient. He has been enough. And it's like a year where we think about all the horrible parts of it, and there are those. And yet God is the constant. He has been the constant this year. Mm-hmm. And so I think He's just given me another year's worth of seeing, of witnessing again that He is faithful in all things, mm-hmm. and that we really can and really must trust Him. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and that's something that I feel like you have been helping me with this year of just remembering. I remember this was something that came through a lot, and when we talked about parenting during COVID, and you were talking about just remembering aloud with your kids and personally just the faithfulness mm-hmm. of God, and that has really been helpful to me, because I think it is so easy and obvious to see, you know, so many things that are wrong right now, and yet after struggling with some insomnia and anxiety earlier this fall, I feel like I'm learning for at least the fifth time that, you know, the best thing for me when life is challenging is to stop anticipating everything that might go wrong next, which is kind of my default, and to instead, like, look for ways that I've seen God's faithfulness and thank Him for those. So, Dad, and I know this is a tricky topic because, like you said, you know, we have not had deep suffering this year, and other people, really have, and are, you know, working through a very different process, you know, are coming from a really different place. But, Dad, what would you say, like, what are some of the good things that you can see, or what are some of the opportunities right now?
Well, I think one of the good things I see is just with all the turmoil and everything that all of us are feeling, small acts of kindness are just so appreciated. Just like little things that we can do to lighten someone's load, or to give someone encouragement, or to, just show someone that we love them and that we want to, in some ways, lighten their load. Is just so, it's one of the things I'm excited about, and I'm not quite sure if I'm going to be able to do this or not, but, you know, I've started cooking in the last few years.
Yeah, you have.
And one of my dear friends, who is one of the people who passed away this year, he was a real estate salesperson, and every Thanksgiving, he would have this thing where he would literally send out cards to hundreds of people and tell them, if you'll come to this house that we're showing on this day before Thanksgiving, we will have a pie for you, like a Thanksgiving pie.
Hmm.
And I mean, there were like hundreds of pies that this man would give away right before Thanksgiving. Well, he's gone this year. So I was thinking, I want to do that this year. And so I don't have that much time, but I've got 9 people in mind that I'm going to take Thanksgiving pies to. And just as a way to, you know, do something nice for them. And some of these will be people who are Christian brothers and sisters, and some are dear friends who aren't. But I don't know. It just seems to me that this is a year where just the smallest bit of kindness or consideration to others really stands out and is a cup of cool water.
Yeah.
And I love that we have those opportunities, and we can be that for others. There's a couple up the street that I don't even know. I don't know that I've ever met these people, but I heard yesterday that one of them is dying of cancer. And so they immediately got put on my Thanksgiving pie list. You know, well, I can at least take them a pie, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that I think is so good, because we don't know how to solve the problems. We don't know how to solve this transition from one president to the next. I guess that's what's going to happen. We don't know how to solve the pandemic. We don't know how to solve. We don't know how to solve the big things. But we do know how to be loving and gracious in the small things. I was reading just today a quote where one person said that for Christians, the core of our theology is grace, and the core of our ethics, or kind of how we behave towards others, the core of our ethics is gratitude. And I thought, isn't that right? That out of gratefulness for all that God's done for us, that shapes how we behave towards others, that shapes our ethics.
Man, that's good.
And so as we're, you know, as we're moving towards Thanksgiving and then the Christmas season, but we're also still moving through a lot of turmoil, it is a great time for the grace of Christianity and the gratitude towards Christ and the gospel, that those shine forth large now.
Man, that's really good, Dad. Yeah, thanks so much for kind of sharing these thoughts with us. I think like my big takeaway, I feel like this is actually one of my big takeaways from your life just in general. Like one of the greatest gifts of having you as my dad is just the consistency of you reminding me both to anchor in the truth of scripture and also just the thought of like looking to God instead of looking, you know, anywhere else. Yeah, thanks for sharing, and you want to wrap us up?
Oh, you bet. I think the best wrap-up I can do for our listeners is to just do one more time with feeling this quote from John Piper that I gave earlier in the episodes. I'm going to read it one more time. The mercy and the sovereignty of God are the twin pillars of my life. They are the hope of my future, the energy of my service, the center of my theology, the bond of my marriage, the best medicine in all my sicknesses, the remedy of all my discouragements. And when I come to die, whether sooner or later, these two truths will stand by my bed and with infinitely strong and infinitely tender hands lift me up to God. Listeners, that is the God that is there for us. We commend you to him. We pray that now in this time of turmoil in our country, that you would be able to rest in Christ and know the gospel message of him giving himself up for our sins so that we could be saved and come to full faith in Christ. And at Leadership Edge, we are about Christian mentoring, helping to develop Christian leaders around the country, around the world. And it's built around a personal vision statement that is, by God's grace, to step forward as God's man or woman in our spheres of influence to serve his purposes for his glory. If you'd like more information about our mentor training that will be coming up in a few months, you can always go to our website, www.lead-edge.com. So, Laura, that's all I've got. I'll throw it back to you.
Great. Thanks so much, Dad. And thanks, listeners, for...
Listeners, if you would like to find out more about John's thoughts on life, leadership, and mentoring, please go to the Leadership Edge website at www.lead-edge.com. Or if you have questions or ideas of topics for future podcasts, please reach out to us at lai@lead-edge.com. We look forward to hearing from you.
Joining us.